All right, hey, let's get to the things that we are tracking on this Monday.
This is the three at three on Wisconsin's Afternoon News.
Do you ever have your headphones and only one ear works?
Yes. Oh, instantly upset.
It's driving me nuts. So if I don't hear you, it's because the earphone that's not working is the one that's closest to you, Julia. All right, here is the first thing of the three at three. This was a really big fire in rural Dane County about 12:30 yesterday afternoon. Firefighters respond to heavy smoke from a building in the village limits. It was a 40-foot by 80-foot barn fully engulfed. The barn had been used for storing older hay bales. It was highly combustible. Several agencies had to respond to put out the fire. It took several hours. One firefighter received minor injuries. No animals were at the farm. The cause of the fire remains under investigation.
So this is straight out of Final Destination for number two, John. The windshield of a Wauwatosa police officer's squad caved in as he was driving underneath North Avenue on the overpass with I-41. He's on I-41. And apparently the falling snow hit him. So text TOSA.
Oh.
TOSA, if you'd like to see what it looks like, at 855-616-1620. TOSA. Investigators say it likely came from a Milwaukee County plow truck clearing North Avenue right as the squad passed underneath. A split-second coincidence that could have ended up much differently. Fortunately, no one was hurt, but you can even see the roof of the vehicle was damaged as well because there was so much snow that fell over the overpass right at that moment.
That's craziness.
Yeah, so
that's
text
nuts.
TOSA if you would like to see it.
Giannis is the third in the three at three. Another big game, another milestone. The Bucks with a big victory over the weekend. And Giannis passes 21,000 points for his career. He's in a very exclusive club, the 42nd player to reach the milestone and the sixth youngest ever to do it. This took place over the weekend.
This is Ryan Rollins on the other side. Bucks lead 85 to 58. Another three-pointer, and Giannis this time rattles one through from the left wing. That's not a shot we see very often from him.
Listen, every time he plays, I feel like he's breaking some kind of record. He is a generational player. He's a generational person, too. And I think that's where we're all lucky, especially the people in Milwaukee, is, you know, the playing, obviously, but the person.
That's Coach Doc Rivers at the end there. Giannis, by the way, after the game, said he expects to be the all-time leading scorer in the NBA before his career's done. He's got half the points, I think, roughly what LeBron has. But here we go.
So if that was our Lane Grindle that was doing that, wouldn't he go, 21,000! You know?
We should send that clip to Lane and ask him to do the Lane.
Yes.
Ask him to do the Giannis highlight. You're right about that. All right. I promise the bosses are not listening. Did you do any shopping during work today on Cyber Monday?
No, I should have. I should have returned my Christmas gift that I was going to get you.
I just told you during the break that I bought for myself something that you're the best gift giver, by the way.
He wants a WTMJ vest so bad. So I ordered it last month for him.
And I was just complaining that I ordered it and it hasn't arrived yet. I can have two vests.
That's true.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so bummed.
Well, you're in the minority if you didn't shop today. A new survey finds that 60% of Americans plan to shop on the clock today on Cyber Monday. 60%. Listen to this number. 70% surveyed said they don't feel guilty because, quote, everybody does it and I deserve it.
I had a former coworker that would shop all the time, even on the anchor desk.
Oh, this is really good
even
tea.
Even in breaking news.
We can't give his or her name. But people out there would know exactly who this is.
Yeah. Shopping for an Audi.
And shoes.
Lots of shoes.
If you see the person standing at the little podium on Channel 4 that has really good shoes, you'll know who we're talking about.
No.
On average, people who shop at the workplace will spend $214 on Cyber Monday shopping at work. $214 shopping just at work. That seems like a big thing. On average, full-time employees in America spend 2.4 hours online shopping during work every week. That works out to 16 workdays spent shopping during the course of the year,
oh
if you add it out.
Oh, my gosh.
That's a lot. listen to this number, 31% admit to shopping online during work meetings.
Oh.
That's not great.
Party foul. Not good.
Yeah.
I couldn't even imagine doing it here with all the things we need to do and the buttons we need to press.
Oh, my God. We're like controlling a spaceship here.
It's true.
It'd be like flying a 747 and trying to buy something from Amazon.
Exactly.
Do you think pilots shop on the job?
Oh, I hope not.
I hope not,
oh,
too.
Wow.
I bet some of them do.
Surgeons?
You know they do. Hey, take the controls for a second. It's Cyber Monday, and this is a flash sale with only 7 seconds. I know we're landing. It's just Des Moines. Take the controls. It is 3:19 at WTMJ. Traffic and weather gets to you at the bottom of the hour. Up next, more snow headed our direction. Meteorologist Craig Copeland helps us detail it out. We will do that coming up on WTMJ.
It's so delightful, and since we've no place.
All right. Sounds like more snow's coming our direction. Meteorologist Craig Copeland is with us. Hello, Craig. Hope you had a great Thanksgiving.
I sure did. I hope both of you did, too. And Julia, how much would you give for a video of seeing angry John McCure in the airport parking lot?
Oh, $1,000.
So my wife was like, let's not end the vacation this way with you angry about the camera. I was like, how about you get in the car? Okay, enough of that. It was not my best moment.
Oh, I
that
flipped
is
out
fantastic.
Too.
Oh,
Craig,
my
how much are we talking this evening? How much snow?
Not much at all. An inch or less. Some places maybe south of Milwaukee, like say Elkhorn, Lake Geneva, Kenosha, may get a little bit more than an inch, maybe up to two in just those areas, pretty close to the Wisconsin-Illinois border. Everybody else, an inch or less.
Is it going to take a long time, Craig, for all of this to come down so it's going to be slow and steady?
Well, it's not going to snow that long, no. In fact, the snow could start any minute now. I'm seeing it starting to show up on the radar, and I'm looking at it from now until maybe 10, 11 o'clock, something like that. It's going to be a very slow snow. It's not going to be the great big flakes. It's not going to fall at a tremendously heavy rate, just going to be a real kind of slow, easy evening snow, which will be, of course, falling at the exact wrong time during the rush hour. But it's not going to be a major impact in either snowfall rate or snowfall accumulation.
Craig, who got the most snow on Saturday? What were some of the places with the highest totals?
Yeah, the highest totals I saw was from right out at the National Weather Service office in Sullivan, which is right along the Waukesha-Jefferson County line. 13 inches there. Was it 13.7? It was 13 point something there. New Berlin was I saw 12.7 inches at New Berlin. Racine, 12 inches. Cedarburg, 11.5. West Bend, 11.5. West Allis, 11.5. Oak Creek, 11.5. Greendale, 11. So a lot of places made it into double digits. Those that didn't got pretty close. In general, 8 to 12 inches all across southeast Wisconsin, which is a little bit unusual. You know, sometimes you get kind of a narrower, heavier band of snow where more falls than someplace else. For this Saturday, this weekend snowstorm, everybody was in the 8 to 12 inch range.
Well, at least it's not like that tonight. I have to drive out to Delafield, Craig, after work. So that's good news that it's just going to be just a little bit and it's going to take a long time.
It's not going to be great. I mean, yeah, it's not going to be great in terms of the timing. But, yeah, I'm happy to tell you that it's not going to be, you know, it's not going to be nasty, nasty.
Looks like a lot of cold coming up, especially near the end of the week. Yeah. Is there a reprieve at all when you kind of look out 10 days or are we in it?
We're in it now. Yeah, we're in it for a while. You know, you get 10 inches, double-digit inches of snow on the ground, and now you're refrigerated in for a while. You don't warm up as much during the day when the sun comes out. You don't get warming from the ground from below as you do at night. So colder days and colder nights. We're going to do no better than highs mostly in the 20s now for at least a week, probably 2 weeks, maybe beyond, because, of course, you know, each week that we as we move forward here, we're going deeper and deeper into the cold season. We do have a day that we can point to that looks like it's going to be the coldest this week, and that's Thursday. Thursday, we may struggle to get to 10 degrees for the high temperature. Yeah. And the night before, so Wednesday night, most places, at least outside the city, are going to drop below zero. Same thing Thursday night, most places, at least outside the city, will be below zero. And in between that day on Thursday, we're going to struggle just to get to 10 or 11.
Meteorologist Craig Copeland, great updates, Craig. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
Yes, Christmas is right around the corner, and why not take your family to the most dazzling nutcracker you've ever seen? How about the flamenco nutcracker? It's a song, music, and dance style which has become one of the icons of Spanish music and culture, and you can text watch if you'd like to see some of the dazzling outfits. We have permission to use it. Thanks to Carenza DeMars. She's the artistic director and joins us live in studio to talk about their December 6th performance. Thank you. So tell me about the Sugar Plum Fairy. What does she look like?
The Sugar Plum Fairy has a custom-made dress from Spain that is called a bata de cola. It's the iconic, super long train dress with tons of ruffles. And it was created just for this piece by an artist in Spain.
What color is it?
It's purple and white.
Oh, is that fun?
Ooh, that sounds cool. And you have artists performing from around the world, right?
We do. You know, I think one of the most interesting things about flamenco is it's always done with live music. So we have musicians and dancers coming from Spain. We have Latin Grammy award-winning musicians, an incredible guitarist named Andres Vadin, who's a Cuban native. And they're all coming to Milwaukee from these deliciously warm places to experience some snow and Christmas cheer.
Exactly. The runtime's really good too, right?
It is. It's family friendly. It's 75 minutes, so it's great for little ones. Most people say, my kids didn't even blink, so it goes by fast.
December 6th, there's two shows. We'll give you more information on that as we head through, but two shows on Saturday. You should come out to this. So when we were in southern Spain, and we were in Granada and Sevilla and those places, we saw flamenco a couple times. It's incredible. It's beautiful. How is it incorporated into the Nutcracker? How does this take part? What does it look like?
Well, it's more like we incorporated the Nutcracker into the flamenco. Ooh. So it's all flamenco. It's passionate. There's a lot of footwork, Spanish guitar, flamenco singing. There's even flamenco Christmas carols as part of the show. But you'll hear a couple of the Tchaikovsky riffs, but it's really a flamenco show. So it's quite dynamic.
How fun.
So when I go in, what am I going to see? A lot of color?
The costumes are very colorful. Yes, and we have some different interpretations of the characters. So our Mouse King is actually a Raven Queen, and she does a footwork battle with the Nutcracker Prince, who's a Matador Prince. And all the costumes are really very unique.
A Matador! Oh, I love that.
I love that, too. That's super cool. Studio K is partnering with a Milwaukee Elementary School for free performances. How important is it to give back? How important is it that our young people get to experience this?
It's really important. You know, I think that whenever we can reach out to the community in any way, it's really a blessing. And this year, we're actually doing, we're taking one of our master artists, Diego Alvarez, who's a Latin Grammy award-winning percussionist, and he's going to be visiting a Milwaukee Public School of 7th and 8th graders to give a master class in percussion.
Oh, I'm so excited about that. And, you know, not a lot of people realize the highest population of Latinos in the state of Wisconsin is right here in Milwaukee. How much do you think this means to our community?
Well, it's the only Nutcracker in Espanol. So it is kind of neat to see some of the Hispanic holiday traditions come to life. And although many of them are from Spain, some of them are shared throughout the Hispanic diaspora. And we have in our production artists from many different backgrounds, like I mentioned, Venezuela, Cuba, and Mexico as well. So I think we're trying to bring more elements than just the Spanish holiday tradition.
And with what's going on with the political temperature and what's been going on with immigration issues, especially in the populations that are probably going to be seeing this and portrayed, how important do you think it is, especially for this year, this holiday, to have this here in Milwaukee?
This is truly a celebration of culture, and it's a celebration of all kinds of immigration, because flamenco is an art that has a lot of Latin American influences, and it's almost built on immigration, right? So in that way, we're really celebrating a unique perspective on the holidays and trying to bring more voice to our Hispanic residents here in Milwaukee.
Celebrating arts and beauty.
I love it. The combination. Studio K Flamenco presents the Flamenco Nutcracker. It's 3 o'clock and 7 o'clock on Saturday. Super family friendly. Tickets are still available. The easiest way is to go to flamenconutcracker.com. Is that the easiest way to get tickets?
That's the easiest way. You can also visit the venue website. We'll be at the South Milwaukee PAC, and you can visit their website as well.
That's a beautiful facility. Have you ever been there?
No, I haven't.
It's really, really state of the art.
Yeah, and easy parking. That's also free.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I appreciate that your artists are going out into the community, especially. I mean, because they're coming from so far.
Yeah.
They don't have to do that.
No.
Will you dance in the piece?
I will, actually. Yeah.
Oh, that's so cool.
Ooh, what are you doing?
I'm doing a few different, it's a surprise, but I'm doing the romantic duet. And I'm also doing a couple of character pieces, we'll say. There are some surprise characters this year.
Oh, that's fun. So 3 p.m. and 7 p.m., Saturday, December 6th. I think that this is perfect. This is for all ages. The runtime is fantastic. Sugar Plum Fairy is going to be in this beautiful Spanish dress, purple dress with a long tail and trail.
It sounds really cool. Carenza DeMars, Artistic Director, Studio K Flamenco. This is so great. Thanks for being here with us.
Thanks so much for having me.
Check out flamenconutcracker.com. Oh, Cyber Monday is going big time. 60% of people admitting that they will be shopping while they're working. Julie and I are not amongst them because this radio show would crash if we tried to juggle like that.
Too much.
But a lot of people out there are doing it, and a lot of people are putting themselves in a position where they could be scammed. Cyber Monday scams are really a thing. How to stay safe and shop online. We're joined by Damian Fortune. Is it Fortune or Fortune, Damian?
Fortune, like the wheel.
Damian Fortune is a cybersecurity expert and the CEO of Centrix, a global leader in secure communication solutions. He's going to talk us through this. Good afternoon. Thanks for being with us, Damian. How big a deal is this on big online days like Cyber Monday?
Yeah, I mean, hey, guys, thanks for having me. It's certainly a bigger deal today. Everyone is getting reminded on every device they have for every vendor email they've ever signed up for. So they're just being bombarded with text messages and emails and all of those sorts of things. And that just presents more and more opportunities for the bad guys to sneak in a link or a QR code or a coupon that that leads you to a place where you end up getting your information stolen.
That's what kind of disappoints me, John. I don't know about you, but the QR codes, it's becoming more and more common, and you feel like your guard's down. Okay, I'll just scan that. And then it can take you right to a really bad site, right, Damian?
Yeah, that's exactly right. You know, the bad guys kind of prey on the fact that when you're scanning a QR code, the code takes care of everything for you, right? You're not typing in a website address. You're not clicking on it from Google. You're really just kind of at the mercy of wherever that link takes you. And it's just that little bit of distraction, that's really all that's needed generally.
So the QR code that Julia mentioned can lead to phishing sites and phishing scams. Can you explain to people what phishing is?
Yep, exactly. So phishing, in short, is just impersonation, whether that's pretending to be a person or pretending to be a business. And the idea is to get them, to get you to give them information that you otherwise wouldn't, you know, assuming that they were a legitimate business or a person. You know, those sorts of attacks are so much more sophisticated now because of AI than they were even a few years ago, right? You know, the email that was poorly worded from a Nigerian prince trying to split his inheritance with you is kind of a thing of the past, right? Now with ChatGPT and Google Gemini, you can actually put together really convincing materials that look a lot like a sales email or a text message from the USPS and things like that. And unfortunately, that just makes the traps a lot more appetizing for a lot of folks out there.
And you know what's really interesting is that a lot of shoppers, they see the time to buy is now and stressed to buy it quickly. And that's when your guard can also come down, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. You know, everyone's kind of had the cyber training or has listened to lists of tips like this before. But all it takes is, you know, some distraction that's going on, like you said, rushing to get the holiday shopping done, or maybe the family's around for the holidays. And it's those little slips that add up.
Cybersecurity expert Damian Fortune is with us. I think a lot of people, Damian, look for places where they can use unsecured free Wi-Fi, malls, cafes. The key part of that being that they're often unsecured. What sort of danger does that pose for people who are using those unsecured networks?
Yeah, I mean, those are actually some of the more scary places. Unfortunately, those insecure networks, a lot of that traffic is just in the open air or designed to be intercepted. So whatever you're sending over sites there can be picked up. And, you know, a lot of it, the e-commerce can sometimes be secured if the site's doing things the right way. But at the same time, sometimes it's not. And you end up either giving away personal details or at worst, you know, even your credit card number over the air.
There's something with ethics that people have to sign when they learn all of this type of things, like the back channels. And at UW-Madison, I followed a professor who went on one of the websites, and, you know, where you can have the free Wi-Fi, and went up to a bunch of students and was like, I can see your Facebook. I can see your credit card information. I can see everything you're clicking on right now. So, Damian, how easy is it to, you know, steal someone's information if you go onto some type of Wi-Fi that isn't secure?
It's painfully easy these days. There are services out there where you can actually kind of rent a hacker or rent a hacking tool that costs, you know, $15 a month, and you can do exactly that. It's a pretty scary world we live in these days.
Oh, that's awful.
It is. You know, Damian, malware can be part of this, being used to steal financial information. What is malware and how does it work?
Yeah, so malware is malicious software that gets installed on your machine, normally by clicking a link that you're not supposed to, and a website will kind of install it in the background. Those tools are designed to do everything from scraping every keystroke that you make on your keyboard to randomly taking screenshots of your screen, hoping to kind of pick up information that might be displayed at a particular point. The tough part is that once the links are clicked to install that stuff, it's actually really hard to root out sometimes. A lot of places have, you know, firewalls and things like this, but it doesn't really matter how many locks you have on your front door if you open the window. And a lot of these phishing emails are designed to put in links that do exactly that.
So I feel like I'm in timeout permanently here at work. I'm always getting the extra training. I'm always the guy that Julia and I checked last, I think it was Wednesday, and I had 390 focused emails that I got. So I go through too fast. And sure enough, one looks interesting. I don't know. My boss said he wanted to give me a $50,000 raise and click this link. And the next thing you know, I'm in additional training. Those links that can lead to suspicious activity, how does that end up leading to my financial stuff being compromised?
Yeah, so a lot of times it's a combination of all the stuff we've talked about already. So you get that email that looks really convincing, you click the link, you hit a website that then installs something in, let's say it's Google Chrome that you're using, that basically from now on is looking for a 16-digit number anytime you type one. And that 16-digit number would be your credit card. And as soon as it finds one, it beams it off to whoever the bad guys were that installed that software on your computer. And then they're able to, you know, either use that number or sell it on to someone else.
There's another thing that is so easy, but a lot of people don't realize. They can go onto a website, you know, like Ann Taylor or something like that, some Ulta or Kohl's even, and they just are one letter off, and it can take you to an unsecure website. How do you know if you are on a secure website?
Yeah, so look for the little lock next to the URL in the URL bar. That's the biggest tip we can give folks. Other than that, it's really just taking the extra second to look at it. The other thing we try to tell folks on vendor websites is to stay away from storing your credit card information. You know, it's just one of those things where even if it's not your mistake, sometimes the vendors themselves get breached and those numbers end up getting compromised. So, you know, either don't store your credit card or use a payment processor like a PayPal or something like that to put that additional layer between you and the bad guys.
AI, an incredible tool. We're using it here on a regular basis at work. It can make us more efficient. It can make things quicker and easier. AI scammers, though, you know, are out there as well. What role can AI play in scamming people?
Tons of roles, unfortunately. The simple ways are, you know, generating these really convincing emails or text messages. The AI actually now can go through and basically guess every phone number and guess every email address to make sure that those spam or phishing emails are getting out to everyone on the internet, basically. But the other thing is the more sophisticated scams are now using, are changing people's voices, for example. So what used to be call centers or scammers in other parts of the world, like India, you can actually run AI over the voice connection and remove the accent. So they sound like, you know, some American person from some store that's trying to help you. Or in the worst cases now, some of these programs are scraping your social media and getting video clips of you and assembling what is essentially a likeness of your voice so that they can then turn around and call your social connections and ask for money and things like that.
He is Damien. We appreciate you being with us, Damien Fortune. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much. Take care.